Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The purpose of the parables is not always clear. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit to get at the meaning. Not today. Blessed St. Luke makes crystal clear the reason and the intended audience for this parable Jesus tells in the gospel reading. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Luckily, that's not you, right? Trusting in yourself, treating others with contempt, especially others in church. The sin of the Pharisee is twofold. On the one hand, he trusts in himself. On the other hand, he's prideful toward others. Both are eternally perilous, but they are complementary sins. They go hand in hand. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, men with notorious sin, whose evil is well known, men whose names punctuate police blotters and litter newspaper headlines. Well, what else do you read the police blotter for, except to feel smug and self-righteous when you find a name that you know? God, I thank you that I am not like other men, men who lust for little children, homosexuals, men in their second or third marriages, egregious and flagrant breakers of the sixth commandment. God, I thank you that I'm not like other women, that my children are well behaved in church or not in church at all, that I'm not having babies just to get welfare checks, that I am modestly dressed and presentable, that my house is neatly ordered and presentable to company. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. God, I thank you. I go to church. I serve on the church council. I put my envelope in the plate. I play the organ. I teach Sunday school. I visit my elderly parents. I mow my neighbor's grass. I mow the church's grass. I put my kids through school. I vote Republican. I work hard around here. I do it for free. I recycle. I give nice gifts. I'm a good person. All that righteousness, to borrow Isaiah's phrase, is a pile of filthy rags. Or to use St. Paul's language, a heap of dung. Even the Pharisee's righteousness exceeds yours. He's not really such a bad dude. You'd be pressing him hard were he a visitor at your congregation to join our little flock. He fasts twice a week. He gives tithes of all that he gets. You, however, think fasting is weird, even in Lent. And if you're tithing, giving the paltry number in the bulletin, then you're all living on about $200 a week. Your good works are a sham, an external show. How many good works do you do when no one is looking? And how many people do you treat with contempt just to feel better about yourself? Whose presence in the pews would set your tongues wagging or the hairs on your neck standing on end? The gays? Women who've aborted their babies? People getting government handouts? Undocumented immigrants? People with faded Hillary bumper stickers, women who've cheated on their husbands, men who've hit their wives, thugs arrested for assault, rapists, robbers, golden parachuted greedy CEOs, Or did you already make an exemption if they tithe? Alcoholics? Drug abusers? A pew full of a pimp and all of his hookers? People with sins different from your own? Repent. This contempt is evil. It's a wonder you don't get a cramp from all that back patting, finger pointing, and tongue wagging. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Tax collectors were the lowest of the low, predators and traitors at the same time, notoriously greedy backstabbers. They were Jews who worked for the Roman occupiers in first century Palestine. Not paying their tax was a crime. And there were no official assessments that came from the assessor's office in Rome, just a tax to be collected. Whatever they collected above the tax, they pocketed as their salaries. And so, working for the hated Romans and fleecing their fellow Jews for every farthing possible, they were rich. It was their only consolation for being so despised. Just the mention of a tax collector in Jesus' parable would have caused a low murmur among the hearers. Tax collectors don't go to church. They are not welcome. This man went to his house justified, forgiven, declared perfectly holy, completely sin-free by God the judge. The tax collector, the thug, the traitor, the greedy, good-for-nothing weasel, forgiven, a child of God. The other man, damned. The Pharisee, the religious zealot, the preacher of righteousness, the law keeper, the always volunteering around the synagogue, the Bible whiz, the man you told your little boys to grow up to be like. Unforgiven, a sinner, a child of wrath, dead in his trespasses and sins. The tax collector, then, is the model Christian. The sinner, therefore, is the ideal candidate for church membership. The corpse is the perfect candidate for resurrection. That's how it is around here. That's the only way it is around here. There can be no trusting in yourself to be a good person. The tax collector sets the paradigm for Christianity. His beating of his breast in repentance and sorrow is carried right into the divine service. You would do well to take your hand off your back, roll your fingers into a fist, and join him. Follow him in his breast-beating example. In the Confiteor, the ancient confession of sins that now exists only in the service of Compline, it was customary to beat one's breast three times. By my fault, by my own fault, by my own grievous fault. And in the Agnus Dei, likewise. O Christ, thou Lamb of God, that takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. That takest away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. That takest away the sin of the world, grant us thy peace. That is to say, we are all a bunch of breast-beating tax collectors here, a bunch of self-despising, good works-rejecting adulterers, thieves, murderers, gossips, swindlers, drunks, hypocrites, homosexuals, sluts, jackasses, and worse. Or we used to be. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked. You were the walking dead. by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You are not your sin anymore. Jesus became your sin. He let all those titles you rightly used to give to yourself and that your sinful flesh wanted to give to others, thief, jerk, hypocrite, whore, racist, sinner, to himself. Those are Jesus. And those sins, all of them, were crucified with Jesus on the cross. You were dead. But now you have been made alive with Jesus, crucified and raised with him through the waters of holy baptism, forgiven and set free, slate wiped clean, record expunged in the words of holy absolution, fed and nourished with the sinless body and blood of Jesus in his holy communion. The church is a refuge, a safe haven for sinners and corpses. Back patters, be gone. Get lost. Breast beaters, join us. Stay here. Until you are willing to admit that you're dead, that you can't really be raised to life. Until you're willing to confess your sin, you cannot receive forgiveness. If you want to trust in your own righteousness, your own goodness, and treat others with contempt, go join a country club or a lodge. Leave this place to us sinners, that we might continue to receive Jesus and his gifts, continue to be raised to life with the immeasurable riches of his grace. After the tax collector's prayer, which you repeat in the Agnus Dei, have mercy on me, a sinner, Jesus' answer is immediate. Take and eat, he says. My body given for you. Take and drink, he comforts. My blood shed for you. For the forgiveness of your sins, all of them, completely, in my name, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.